seated. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 41. I'm going to call this message, Being Led by the Inward Witness. Amen. Praise the Lord. You could also call this message, The Spectacular versus the Supernatural. All right. So many times Christians, they want a spectacular leading of God. They want God to talk to them in dramatic ways. A lot of times Christians, they want God to show them a sign, give them some way of knowing what to do. But the Bible says that the way God speaks to us is through the inward witness in our spirit or our conscience. Glory to God. And I'll tell you what, this is the defining characteristic for those that are going to be truly spiritual. Yes. Spirituality is not just a measure of your morals.
Right. Come on.
Come on now. Come on, some of you can shake off the commercial. Amen.
Amen.
Some of you look almost pouty-faced about it. I'll tell you what, we don't get pouty-faced when it's time to do something for God. We get shouty-faced. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But I'll tell you what, to be truly spiritual is not a matter of how moral you are, because there are people who don't even know Jesus who are moral. But the measure of true spirituality is that you rely on, you lean on, you hear the voice of God in your spirit, and you put into action the plan of God for your life. Being moral is just a byproduct of being made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that God made Jesus to be made sin, who knew no sin, that we would be made the righteousness of God in Christ. How many of you are in Christ here today?
Yeah, amen.
All right, praise the Lord. If you are in Christ, the Bible says that you are the righteousness of God.
That's right.
It wasn't because you acted right all the time. That doesn't mean because you did everything right. That is how God has determined to designate you.
Yes.
You are His righteousness.
That's right.
And I don't live morally to try to get righteous. I live morally because I realize the Bible says I already am righteous.
Right?
We just live how we've been made.
Amen.
Right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And a lot of interesting illustrations I could use right now. But for the sake of time, we'll pass over those. Glory to God. You know, we are the righteousness of God. Spirituality is not based on how moral you are. Of course, you should be moral.
Yes.
Understand?
That's
But being spiritual is that you are in the right place at the right time where God said to be. The question you shouldn't be asking yourself, am I being moral enough? The question is, am I in the right place? Am I where I'm supposed to be with God, right? Do I have the job that He led me into? Am I in the church that He led me to, right? Am I in the right place? Have I done the will of God? Am I listening on a daily, moment-to-moment basis and following the leading of God from your spirit? That is what spirituality is. But a lot of times, Christians, they demand some spectacular thing. God isn't going to give you a sign. Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after signs. Remember the Pharisees? They said, just show us some huge thing and then we'll believe. He said, that's wicked and adulterous to say, and if God gets spectacular enough, then I'll finally believe Him. No, but He supernaturally will lead you on the inside, and it might not be so dramatic. Christians have a tendency to over-dramatize the leading and the promptings of God. We are not going to over-dramatize it, right? Yeah, we don't have to make it some grand, spectacular thing. It's our responsibility. A lot of Christians, they think, well, the leading of God is only for, you know, pastors, and it's only for, you know, the super Christians out there, that they actually hear God's voice. No, it's for every single believer.
That's right.
Every single one. And sometimes it's so simple, it almost seems natural. But it's not natural, it's supernatural.
That's right.
But we can get to a place where we're so proficient at hearing the voice of God that it becomes easy to do, common, you know? If I can say it that way.
Sure.
It should be common for a believer to check on the inside of their spirit and see if they're doing the right thing, making the right choice, Because God will put peace in your heart.
Yes.
You don't need some thunderclap from heaven. You don't need to hear, you know, some booming sentence in your heart before you can do something. You just need the peace and clarity of God on the inside. It's just so simple. And I'll tell you what, it will spare you from many hardships. It'll spare you from financial hardships. It'll spare you from physical hardships. It will spare you so much if you will learn to follow the inward witness on the inside. Because where God's grace will lead you, it'll always provide for you.
Yes.
God will never lead you into unprotected danger.
That's good word.
He will never lead you into a place where you will ultimately come out on top.
Yeah, right, right.
If you will follow the voice of God, you will always come out on top.
Yes.
You will come out on top physically, financially, emotionally, spirit, soul, and body.
That's right. Amen.
Are you listening to the voice of God? Amen. Go with me to Genesis chapter 41. Praise the Lord. Relying on, looking to, being sensitive to what God's saying down on the inside right here. And I'm talking about when you have times in this life where you have to make big decisions. All right? You do understand that in your personal life, the Bible doesn't tell you who to marry. There's no verse in there that tells you who to marry. There's no verse in there that tells you where to work or go to church.
Right?
It might teach on principles that would help you understand those things, but it doesn't specifically tell you what to do. But God's Spirit specifically tells you what to do. Now, let's go down here. Let's start in Genesis 41. Now, I taught on these scriptures a couple weeks ago regarding Joseph and Pharaoh. Remember how Pharaoh had a dream? Pharaoh was the king of Egypt, and he had a dream that he saw the seven well-favored cows. Remember the well-favored cows? That was just a nice way of the Bible saying fat.
Yeah.
The fat cows, the well-favored ones. That's I've chosen, my wife and I, we've chosen, that's what we call it now.
Yeah.
You know? If the waistline gets a little tight, I'm just well-favored. Just well-favored. Glory to God. Sure is good to be well-favored. Well, Pharaoh, he saw in the dream or his vision, he saw the well-favored cows, and then after that he saw seven skinny, sickly cows devour up those seven cows, right? And they still remain skinny and sick, right? And then he saw seven good ears of corn and then seven bad ears of corn. And then, of course, Joseph was called in to interpret the dream. And Joseph, by the Spirit of God, told Pharaoh, said, the dream that you had is regarding a great famine that is coming on the land of Egypt. He said, there will be seven good years followed by seven very bad years. And Joseph put the plan into motion. We need to save during those 7 years to prepare for the 7 years of famine. Remember that? Okay. Now let's pick up the story and we'll read it in verse 1, Genesis 41, verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of two full years that Pharaoh, king of Egypt, dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river seven well-favored, hallelujah, kine or cows and fat-fleshed, and they were fed in the meadow. And behold, seven other cows came up after them out of the river, ill-favored, lean-fleshed, and stood by the other cows upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed cows did eat up the seven well-favored and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. And he slept, and he dreamed the second time. And behold, seven ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. I always thought rank was a bad term. Apparently it's good. You know, you might not want to say that to your spouse. Man, you're looking pretty rank. When she asks how the outfit looks, do not say, you look rank. And if you do use that word, you better be ready with this scripture right here. And behold, seven thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them, and the seven thin ears devoured the seven rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for the magicians of Egypt and all that, and he wanted to get the meaning of it. All right, now go over there to verse 15. And so they find Joseph to interpret the dream. And Pharaoh, go to Genesis 41, 15. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Glory to God. And then go over to verses 37 and 38, and we'll see. We know that Joseph, then, he interprets the dream, and watch Pharaoh's reaction. In verse 37, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh. Meaning, what Joseph said brought the peace, okay? And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, speaking of Joseph, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? So whatever Pharaoh heard, it put him at rest, okay? All right, now let's go back over to the first few verses here. I want to give you my first point here. When it comes to following the inward witness of God, peace trumps the spectacular.
Yes, very good.
Peace trumps the spectacular. You are not after the spectacular. You are after peace. Go down there to verse 8. After he had that dream, how many would say that that dream was pretty spectacular?
Yeah.
There's so many Christians out there today that are trying to be led by dreams and asking God for dreams and, God, just show me. Now, dreams are scriptural, but they're not the most favored way that God has to lead his people. All right? We need to know and understand that. But notice this. After he saw the spectacular vision, look what it says in verse 8. It said, it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And look, remember what Joseph said over there in verse 16, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Notice the dream was spectacular, but it wasn't the answer.
Right, very good.
Get a hold of that. Notice the dream was spectacular, but it wasn't the answer. Notice he had the spectacular, but he didn't have peace. Come on now. We need to get a hold of that. I'll tell you what, that is what so many people are doing. They want a sign. They want a spectacular. They want the vision. They want the dream. Notice you can have those things and not have peace.
Right.
Notice it says that Pharaoh's spirit was troubled.
That's right.
And I have seen this as a pastor, just with a little bit of experience now. I'll tell you what, the people that demand the spectacular tend to be the most troubled people of Christians. Oh, my goodness. The people that are, oh, God has to give me a dream. God has to give me a vision. God's got to put something. You notice that they're always the most troubled Christians. Yeah. I'll tell you what. Whatever environment you create around your life, if you create an atmosphere of trouble, that means God is going to have to speak louder to get to you. Oh, my goodness. If God has to speak louder to get to you, you're going to hear his voice even less. Because God does not speak loud on a regular basis. If God does speak loud to you, if God does give a vision in a dream, it's typically because you are in trouble or you are going to be. And so many Christians, they've almost beat themselves up saying, I'm just not one that sees visions. I'm not the one that get the dreams. I just don't seem to have the spectacular. I just seem to just get a witness on the inside. Good. Good. Consider it good news when you don't get the vision. Consider it good news when you don't get the dramatic dreams and all this stuff. Notice you can have the dream and still be troubled. He had the spectacular, but he had no peace.
Right.
He had the dream, but he still didn't have the answer. Come on now. People that will demand God to speak to them dramatically will dull their spiritual senses. Get a hold of that. If you are someone that needs it to be big and obvious all the time, you will dull your spiritual senses, and you won't recognize when he speaks to you in just peace and clarity. If you will create an environment of peace around your life, you will hear God's voice a lot more. God, notice it says there that God was going to give Pharaoh an answer of peace.
Yeah, right.
He wasn't going to give him an answer in a written essay. Notice the dream wasn't the answer. He wasn't going to give him an answer of, handwriting on the wall and all that. He said, he's going to just simply answer you. He says, Pharaoh, you will know your answer when you recognize peace. Here, now we go over there to verse 37 and 38. Remember what Pharaoh said in verse 37? And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh went on to say, Joseph has the Spirit of God on him.
Right.
What is Pharaoh saying? Pharaoh's saying, there's the answer.
Yes.
Because now there's peace.
Yes.
Come on now,
right.
Get a hold of this. Praise the Lord. He noticed this. Pharaoh recognized the peace once it was in front of him.
Yes, very good.
Come on now.
Yes.
A lot of Christians, you know, it's not hard to recognize. Notice what it was to Pharaoh. Joseph spoke. He's like, yep. On the inside, it bore witness. Yep, that's right. Yep, that makes sense. Yep, that's my peace.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
Notice that as soon as the peace was in front of him, he recognized it. Pharaoh was not born again like we are.
Right.
Pharaoh is not filled with the Holy Ghost, yet he recognized his answer because it just simply gave him peace.
Sure.
Yeah, that gives me peace. Oh, notice the dream troubled him because he was troubled at the thought of 7 years of hard famine.
Right.
But as soon as Joseph spoke by the Spirit of God, said, what we'll do, we'll save up 20% for the next 7 years and we'll put somebody in charge of all the food stores and that, all of a sudden that trouble went away.
Right.
And the peace of God flooded into Pharaoh,
yes.
And he recognized it and said, that's my answer.
Yes.
Pharaoh didn't have to go and get in sackcloth and ashes for 3 days.
No, right.
He didn't have to fast for 3 months.
Right.
Just when the answer of peace came, there it was.
Very good.
Notice he made a decision based for the entire nation based on just a simple peace.
Yep.
Notice you can make the biggest decisions for your life based on just whether or not there's peace on the inside. I'll tell you what, we need to listen to the Holy Ghost. God isn't going to give you an answer of fireworks in the sky. He's not going to visit you necessarily in the nighttime. Have you noticed that in the Bible, every time there was a spectacular leading, it was because trouble was on the way? Here, Pharaoh, dream, trouble's on the way. An angel showed up to Paul while he was on the ship. Paul said, an angel stood beside me this night, saying that the ship the boat that they were on was going to sink, but all the lives will be spared.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
remember
right.
In Acts chapter 16, in the man of Macedonia experience, Paul had a vision at night and saw in the vision that he was to go to Macedonia. But when he got to Macedonia, he got thrown into jail. God is constantly, when he talks loud, and he talks big, and he talks dramatic,
right.
It's usually because trouble is coming.
Yeah, no doubt.
You don't want to be a believer that is constantly saying, I need God to speak to me dramatic. I need to hear something. I need to see something so big and dramatic. No. Then you will cancel out how God speaks to you 99% of the time.
Right.
Come on now.
That's right. Very good.
Praise the Lord. On the inside, in your conscience, just something will either give you peace or there will be a check on the inside.
Right, sure.
You know, this happened to me last night, and I'm going to tell you, you know, here I was meditating on these very scriptures. You know, I was meditating on my message and so on, and all of a sudden, something kept coming to me. Recently, many of you know that I'm a hunter and a sportsman, an outdoorsman, and things like that. I like the shooting sports and things like that. And recently, I'm also a history buff. I don't even have cable or satellite TV. I like to watch a World War II documentary. That's my idea of a good time.
Yeah.
Hey, born to be mild, right? Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. I'd rather read about World War II in my spare time or, you know, just... You know, that stuff just interests me. That trips my trigger, so to speak. And recently I had picked up an antique World War II rifle. And I was like, hey, this is really cool, you know. It's a M1 Garand. And you know, and I see that thing and I just think, you know, just think, a soldier could have carried this rifle into battle. Maybe it wasn't even in the Korean War or whatever. And I just like that history. Well, of course, but I also want to shoot the thing, too. I don't want to just look at it. I want to take it to the range and I want to shoot it. But I did some reading on it, and I realized that M1 Garands, you can't just go to the shop and buy modern 30-06 ammunition and put it in there, because those guns all those years ago were not made for what our modern ammunition. You have to find military spec ammo from 50 years ago. You got to find military surplus and stuff. And like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that. And so I found some for sale at a real, real good price. And I was going to take a drive later this evening and go down and pick it up, right? And that's what I was planning on doing. And I was sitting here meditating in these verses, you know, and I'm sitting here trying to prepare my message. And something on the inside just keeps telling me, look up that ammo. Look it up. Something's not right. Not right. And I just couldn't, you know, to keep passing it off. Like, no, it's such a good deal. You know, and you try to override the peace or the check in your heart because it gets in the way of what you want. But it just kept, God is so good. It was just the slightest prick in my conscience. It wasn't a thunderclap. Yeah. It was just something on the inside. There was a lack of peace about it. There wasn't words. There wasn't a phrase. I didn't see a picture in my mind or anything, or in my heart or anything like that. And so I took a little break from meditating, and I just Googled it. I said in the ammo that I was supposed to buy was going to be 1958 French military surplus ammo. And so that's what I put into Google. And all that came up was warning, 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 that ammo, especially from those years, was known to cause M1 Garand rifles to explode. And there was all these pictures of guys sitting there with their rifles in pieces. They said, this ammo is like a ticking time bomb. Do not touch it. Warning, warning, all the authorities on this antique, you know, military stuff. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. What was it? It was a check on the inside. Something was just scratching at me. It wasn't big and dramatic. It was a lack of peace. And so I got on there and I told the guy, I said, hey, I'm very sorry. I'm a man of my word, but I did a little research and I'm not going to, you know, buy something that's unsafe. You know what I mean? That's going to cause my gun to explode in my face. I was reading just a few guys were saying, yeah, I got shrapnel, pieces of metal stuck in my face for shooting that. Nothing against the French, but they just didn't do it right. Hey, I nothing against the French. I like French fries, you know. Right? Yeah. French toast. Nothing wrong. You know, a lot of good things come from France, you know. Praise the Lord. You know, the Statue of Liberty was a gift from the French. Praise God. But they just don't know how to make ammunition, apparently. But I was just sitting there, and I mean, and so I had to email the guy. I said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be there. And I sent that message. I'm like, thank you, Father, for the inward witness. I didn't have to have a dream about it. I didn't have to have a vision. There's something on the inside. Won't God lead you in the same way pertaining a job or a relationship? There's just a scratching on the inside. You know, I remember a day when I had just gotten saved, but my job, it kept me away from being in church every Sunday. And every time I would travel and go away to work my job, on the inside, there was just a scratching. Like, oh, man, I should be in church. I want to be worshiping God in this job. And I'm like, God, what am I going to do? Do I quit my job and reduce my income and go through that whole process and trial, to obey you? And it was like that scratching never left me until I left that job, got into church every Sunday. You know what I mean? There's people that sear their conscience. They know they're supposed to be following God. They know they're supposed to be putting God first. They know they're supposed to, you know, God comes over your job. He comes in front of everything in life. And you won't have that peace and that confidence until you've made that decision.
That's right.
Yeah. You will recognize peace when it's in front of you. Yeah. How many of you, I mean, you don't need to raise your hands, but maybe you had a quote-unquote hectic week, and you came into church, and right now you're sensing just peace. Yes. It's good to be here. Yes. Yeah, what is that? That's God's environment.
Yes.
The Bible says, and the God of peace, right, shall, so on and so forth. The God is a God of peace. He speaks in the environment of peace. He leads with peace. He made Pharaoh make a whole national decision based on whether he had peace or not.
Yes.
And when Pharaoh wasn't sure, when peace was in front of him, it was easy to recognize.
Yeah.
When people say it's hard to be led of the Spirit, I just don't get it. No, you will recognize peace. Is there clarity on the inside? Is it peace on the inside? Or is it just a, No, that doesn't sit right. If it doesn't sit right, then don't move. Come on, this is going to save your life. It could have saved mine. You know, I don't think it would have necessarily killed me, but I don't know about you, but I'd prefer not to have shrapnel in my face. You know, and if I would have showed up to church with bandages all over my face and things, you know, I'd been like, well, we know who wasn't listening to the Holy Ghost. Yeah, because it'll show up in our lives. If you continually fail to listen on the inside, and how do you? Let me just tell you, it's real simple. How do you become proficient? You practice.
Yes.
You know, you can train yourself. I've come to the point where, and I'm not saying I'm perfect on this, or believe me, I'm not. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. But when I make decisions, I just start checking down in here. The Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. So I check down here. I do not check up here. Right. Your mind is not the realm of God. It doesn't communicate with God. It doesn't communicate with anything godly. Your mind, the Bible says, needs to be renewed by the Word. The only time the mind works correctly is when it's renewed with the Word of God. I don't go to my mind. I don't think and try to figure it out. We go down here and say, God, do I have peace on it? You know, I thought when I knew when God wanted us to build this building, I thought, well, man, God, I remember saying this. I'm telling on myself now. I remember when I said, well, God, you're going to have to show me something bigger. Oh, what, your peace isn't enough? What, the inward witness, your born again, blood-bought spirit wasn't good enough? But God, this is a big project. This is several million dollars, and this is a big move for the church. I'm going to need to see something bigger. And guess what? Something bigger never came. You know why? Because spectacular does not trump peace. I had peace on the inside here, but my mind was reeling up in here over such a big decision. You got to remember, at that time, our church was about 200 people. You know, it was half the size that it is now. And, you know, that was the biggest, you know, financial commitment that we had to make. We didn't have the support that we do now. You understand?
That's right.
And so, you know, there was just naturally things up in here, but down in here, I had peace. And I had to repent and say, God, I'm sorry. Your peace is enough.
Yes, that's good.
If peace was enough for Pharaoh to make a decision for the entire nation of Egypt, peace is good enough for us to make decision over our jobs, for our families. Amen. Do you got peace on it?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for your enthusiasm today. Yeah, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, I want to show you some things here in the Word. Go with me to the book of 1 John. Praise the Lord. 1 John. He had the spectacular. He had the dream. He had the vision, but he was still troubled. But you know what? He recognized peace. Notice he didn't have to go and dream the dream again before he said, that's it. That's it. What Joseph just said, that's it. That's my answer. He didn't have to go have the vision again. It was the answer of peace that told him what to do. The vision did not tell him what to do. Are we against visions? No, the Bible says in the end days that upon my servants and handmaidens, saith the Lord, that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The old man will see dreams, young man's dream visions. I got that backwards, but you can switch that, you know. And, right? The Bible tells us that there will be dreams and visions, but it never tells us to ask for them. I'll tell you what, you better be careful. Don't you be a Christian that asks God for a dream or a vision. Because the devil will hear you and the devil will accommodate you. You never see in the Word in the New Testament where any of God's people ever asked him for a vision. The time when visions came is when there was a time of trouble ahead. And God had to speak louder, right? Don't you speak louder to your children the closer they get to danger?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So if you're not hearing the loudness of God, be grateful.
Yeah. Amen.
Be grateful. And think about the environment. When are you at the most peace? Peace when you are when you're yelling or just talking normal. Yeah. The most peace. So, you know what I mean? God God is a God of peace. He's not the yelling God. He's not the screaming God. He's at complete peace, and so his voice is very peaceful.
Yes.
And the only time he shouts is because we're getting close to something that can hurt us. All right? You need to walk out of here today saying, God's peace is enough.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. I have the peace of God. I hear the peace of God. I make decisions based on whether there's peace in here.
Amen.
If you're buying a car, is there peace in here? If you're buying a house, is there peace in there? If you got a check on the inside, that's your cue.
Amen.
Hold up. Amen. You know, before we go to 1 John, go over to 1 John chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 20, and then we're going to go over to chapter 3 here in a second. But notice that the vision of Pharaoh was from God, but it still troubled him. And there's reasons why it troubled him. Are you ready? I'm going to just give you real quick reasons why Pharaoh was troubled at the vision, even though it was a vision from God. Number one is that he was not spiritually mature enough to handle the spectacular.
Right.
You have to understand, the spectacular is for those that are spiritually mature enough to handle it. Right? Pharaoh wasn't born again. He wasn't in covenant with God. He wasn't even a Jew.
Right.
He wasn't at the place. Listen, I'll tell you what, if we, you know, so many Christians, if we just start seeing visions and stuff all the time and demanding that spectacular thing, I'll tell you what, it would mess a lot of believers up. Because they're not at a place where they're able to handle it. The second reason why it troubled him is because he didn't know the Word.
Yeah.
He didn't know the Word of God. I'll tell you what, God isn't going to give something, you know, to his children. Now, you got to remember, Pharaoh's in a different situation. He was the leader of the strongest nation of the earth at the time.
Yes.
All right? You have to understand that Pharaoh at that time was the president of the United States today.
Yeah, right.
The most powerful man, the richest man in the world, with the most resources at his disposal.
That's right.
And God had to speak dramatically to him because he had no way of hearing otherwise.
Right.
We are different. We have the Spirit on the inside. We have the inward witness.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
But Pharaoh didn't know the Word. And when God gives something spectacular to one of his people, they will already have the Bible knowledge.
Yes.
They will already know that the vision or the dream or something will line up with the Word of God.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Word. And I know this. The more I get filled with the Word, the more I hear the Holy Spirit's voice.
Yes.
The more I hear the Word, the more I hear his voice, because he's the author of every verse.
Yes.
So many times, the scriptures that I've meditated on and memorized and things that I have built into me, when I get into a situation, it's like, you remember those old reel-to-reel tape recorders?
Yep. Yeah.
I know some of you are thinking, I'm not even old enough to remember those, but hey, I remember them when I was a kid, right? I remember my parents had reel-to-reel, reel-to-reel projectors. Oh my goodness, remember those dinosaurs, right? The old 8mm or the 16mm. Come on now. All right. Forget it. You know, but something, I don't know why this just makes sense to me. So many times when I've been in situations, it's like I get this picture in my mind of like a reel to reel. It just turns on. You see that tape going from one reel to another. There's been so many situations that I've been in and had to make a decision when it just click, it turns on the inside, and it literally starts playing a verse. Literally, like I hear verses on the inside of me, you know? And it's because I built the Word. Remember what Jesus said? He said, that which I've spoken to you, the Holy Spirit shall put you in remembrance.
Yes.
If there's no Word in there to begin with, how is he going to remind you of what you don't know?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you've put Word in there, now he can dig up that Word. He can start playing it on the reel-to-reel on the inside in here. And once that happens to me, I know that's my answer. I know that's the Spirit of God, because God leads us in line with the Word.
Yes.
He's not going to give you a dream or vision that confuses you.
Right.
See, it confused Pharaoh because he was spiritually dead, didn't know the Word. But now in the New Testament, the Bible says that God's not a God of confusion. There's so many Christians that have come to me and say, I had a dream and this and that and this happened, but I didn't understand it. It made no sense. Throw it away. But it just seems so big and dramatic and different. Throw it away. I can't tell you. Maybe, you know, some of you just aren't interested in this message today. I can tell by some of you aren't. But I'll just tell you, Jamestown has been filled with this nonsense.
Yes.
Believers run around, and you know what? I'm going to pick on our own. It's mostly Pentecostal charismatic folks like us. That are running around, oh, this is spectacular, oh, this is, and the whole time I'm just sitting there as a pastor, I'm saying, you are the most unstable person.
Yes, that's exactly.
And every time the people that have come and they demand they're dramatic, they're the most unstable people. Because God isn't given the answer through the dramatic or the spectacular. He will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And these people, because they don't look for the answer of peace, because they don't look for, they always look for the spectacular, they don't look for the peace, they have no peace.
That's it, yes.
If you will learn to look for the peace of God, if you will learn to turn in and listen for the peace of God, you will be a more peaceful person. If you will develop that desire and that need, it's like, I got a hunger to have that peace on the inside, to hear that peace. I love it. It tells me what to do and what not to do. Yeah, even in your hobbies, even if you are have a World War II antique rifle that you want to shoot, God will still speak to you and spare you and help you. You know, sometimes the people, they think that God doesn't care about our recreation and hobbies and, you know, maybe you just want something nice to enjoy it. God does care about that. The Bible says He's given us all things to richly enjoy. If I richly enjoy camping, I'm going to enjoy it. Yeah. If I richly enjoy, you know, seeing the mountains or seeing the ocean, I'm going to enjoy it. Yeah. If I richly enjoy hunting, I'm going to enjoy it. Don't send me any of your animal-loving letters. I love animals, and I do. I'm not going to make a joke. I love to eat them or anything like that. I have a dog. I have a rabbit at home, all right? Listen, I kiss up that bunny. I love that rabbit. You know, I pick him up. He's the cutest thing. I'm so good to our animals. Hunters don't mean they're cruel. Actually, if you knew how the chicken and the beef that you eat at McDonald's, if you knew how they died. Anyway. Honey, I know some of you are like, oh, he just got himself on a limb with that one. No, I believe in being humane. Humane. I don't like hunters that just, you know, out there to shoot and hurt animals and all that stuff. No, humane, responsible hunting. But God cares about what you enjoy. Maybe you don't enjoy that. You enjoy something else. That's okay, as long as it's appropriate. God cares about those things. He will lead you. He will lead you when to buy something you enjoy, or when now's not the good time, or whatever it is. Sometimes He will lead you into things that you didn't even realize you liked. Yeah. Yeah, actually, speaking of hunting, that was one thing for me. I didn't grow up a hunter.
Right.
I grew up in town, you know. I did not like the whole hunting thing. I moved into the country, and the country moved into me.
Yeah.
And I discovered a redneck that I never knew was in there. I mean, I went to college, you know. I was, you know, trying to be Mr. Intellectual and all this stuff. I got out in the country, you know, and all of a sudden, well, I got a hunting shotgun. Then I'll get a hunting rifle. Maybe I should hunt. And I did, and I do. And God speaks to me out there. You know, He'll speak to you in things that you enjoy. You know, I mean, I don't understand it, but a lot of women, they like shoes. I mean, how many pairs do you really need? And I can hear the argument in the back of my mind, well, how many hunting rifles do you need? You can only use one at a time. I can only wear one pair of shoes at a time. You're right, guilty as charged. You win. Look, I'm making the point. I'm talking about things that God will lead you. He'll speak to you, even in things. Christians have this way of thinking that God only speaks to you and leads you in peace about big things. He will lead you about when to have children, which is a big thing. That was my starting point. He'll lead you from all the way from having children to, I mean, just what paint color you have on your wall. If you like it, it matters to God. You know, when my wife says, you know, I'd like to have new carpet in the, in the dining room, I think, well, good. You know, and I need to release my faith for that and belief for that. And, you know, And I realized that in the Word, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5, right around the 14th verse, it says that women guide the affairs of the home.
Yes.
They make those decisions. And men, they think, wow, we don't need new carpet in there. We don't need new paint on the wall. We don't need new stools for the breakfast nook or whatever. You know, all that stuff that just seems insensible. But if you knew the Word and knew how God geared women, He made them to think of those things. And when I hear her say that, I realize that's God leading her in something that she enjoys, something that she wants, something that's important to her. Listen, just because it's not your cup of tea, don't you be down on somebody else that enjoys it. I don't know why I'm saying all this. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. 1 John, we're going to wrap this up right here. 1 John chapter 2 in verse 20. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, I think I make a good habit of putting my foot in my mouth. I would say it just about happens every time I speak. And I thank you for your mercy and your kindness and your patience. Verse 20, notice what the Word says. It says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. When someone calls you a know-it-all, say, yes, I am. Say, yep, I have an unction from the Holy One. I know all things. Now, what does it talk about? Now, probably most of you in here don't know the atomic number for copper. You know what I mean? So it's not talking about all academic knowledge. Is copper even on the atomic? Is that even right? Is that even? I don't even know. The periodic table, the atomic number, is that right? Is that? Yeah, that's right, yeah. I'm a former educator. I know these things, right? It doesn't mean you have all academic knowledge. It means that you have an unction for all things pertaining to you. Pertaining to decisions you have to make, pertaining to a direction that you need to go, whether you should do something, not do something, how to make personal decisions. The Bible says you have an unction and know all things. It is wrong to say, I don't know what I'm going to do. It is against the Word of God to say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know what to do in this situation. Wrong. If you come up to a situation and it seems like you don't know which way to go, here's your answer right here. I have an unction.
Yes, very good.
I thank you, Father God. I have an unction from the Holy One, right? The Holy Ghost. I have an unction from Him, and I know what to do in all things. I know what investments to make. I know what to do with financial things. I know who to marry. I know. I have an unction of all things. Amen. When you say, I just don't know. Is that what the Word says?
Right. Come on. That's good.
The Bible says you have an unction. Yes. It's not something you have to get. It's not something you have to earn or work or build up. If you're born again, you have it.
I have it.
How many of you have born again, made Jesus the Lord of your life? Thank you. Half of you. All right, we're going to have quite the altar call today. I don't know. This side seemed to be more saved than this side. If you're born again, you have an unction. And God's waiting for you to say this. You know, every day I remind myself, I say, I have an unction. I have an unction from the Holy One. I know all things pertaining to my life. I know decision what to do for my child's education. I know what to do in terms of financial investments. I know all things pertaining to my life. I have an unction. So that doesn't mean you might know, not, you know, you might not know right now, but at the time when the decision is made, you have an unction. I will know. I will recognize peace when I get there, just like Pharaoh recognized peace when he got there.
Yes.
I'm going to recognize peace when I get there. Say, well, maybe my mind can't wrap itself around the whole idea of what I need to decide right now. But when that time comes, I'm going to know exactly what to do.
Yes.
When it came time for us to sign the papers, you know, to build a $3 million church building, I had peace on the inside. I had an unction.
Yes.
I can sign with confidence.
Yes.
Amen. Go to 1 John 3, chapter 3, and verse 20. And here we go again with the inside witness. You have an unction. Where's the unction? It's on the inside. You know, a lot of people, when they need something from God or they talk to God, they do this. God, I don't know. That's not where he is.
Come on. Yes.
When I talk to God, I don't do this. I do this. Father, I have an unction from the Holy One. The unction isn't in the heavenlies for me. It's not up there. It's in here. He didn't put my unction for my life is not up in heaven. You understand that? My unction for my life is on the inside. What does the Bible say? Romans 8:16. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. Right? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Right? How about 1 Corinthians chapter 2, right around the verse 10? But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For what knows the things of a man save the spirit of man within him?
Yes, that's it. Yes.
1 Corinthians 2, 11 or 12, right around that neighborhood.
Yeah, very good.
Right? He says, what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man on the inside?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't look up here. Oh, God. I don't look like, oh, God. Like it's some distant thing. It's never distant. It's on the inside already. It's there already. And now 1 John 3:20 tells us how we discern and understand it. It says in verse 20, it says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Go to verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God. Look at verse 20 again. It says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows all things. Okay, isn't that exactly what He said? You have an unction that knows all things for your life.
Yeah.
He says, beloved, if your heart condemns us not, then we have confidence.
That's right.
That's what we're looking for when making a decision. Do I have confidence to make this decision?
Yes.
Do I have peace to have this? When the Bible says your heart condemns you, literally that word means to smote, to smite, to hit, to check. Something on the inside just kind of is reserved and hold back, right?
Yeah.
But if you don't have that check, and if you have confidence, notice it goes on to say, we have confidence towards God. God is putting His endorsement when our heart has confidence.
Very good. Yes.
When my heart has confidence, when I'm free and I have the peace, I can do something. That's God saying He will back it up.
Yeah.
He will back up the decisions you make with confidence. Come on. But if you made the decision, well, I don't know, and I was wondering, and I didn't rely on the unction. I didn't keep going down and checking my spirit. If you made that decision with no confidence, then God has no legal responsibility to back that up.
Yes.
God is going to back up your decisions that you make with confidence, clarity, peace. You have an inside intuition,
yes,
a knowing in here. You're not looking for a dramatic thing up here. You're not looking for a spectacular thing out there. You're not looking up to heaven for your answer.
Right.
See, the Old Testament says, David said, I look under the hills where my help comes from. That is not a New Testament Christian doctrine.
Right.
That is an Old Testament spiritually dead verse.
That's right.
You do not look to the hills for where your help comes from.
Right.
You don't. You don't do that. You have to understand. Do you know how to interpret the Bible correctly? You have to understand that there are certain things in the New Testament that replace things in the Old Testament. No, if it's in there, then we have to still do it. No, I didn't see you bring your sacrificial lamb, pigeon, or bullock. I didn't see you bring the goat or the heifer here today. That's an animal, by the way, in the Old Testament. Seriously, that's an animal. You didn't, you know, slice them open, sacrifice them. Why? Because there's something in the New Testament that has replaced the blood of Jesus, replaced the blood of animals, right? And in the New Testament, looking under the hills has been replaced by looking into the spirit of man. Hallelujah. Did you get some help out of this? If you got confidence, make the decision.
Yes.
If you know on the inside, I got confidence. I can do this with complete peace and clarity. God, your unction is enough. I have an unction. I know all things pertaining to my life. I know what decisions to make. I find myself saying it all the time. I have an unction. I have an unction. I don't say I don't know what to do. That's not the word. God is not the God of confusion. Well, this will save your life. If you'll do it. Exciting times we're in. How do we know that we're supposed to plant these churches in Buffalo and Bayville? It's in the hearts of several around here. Right? Pastor Michael, myself, spiritual leadership of this church. Other ministers have confirmed it.
That's right.
Right? Peace, clarity. Did God have to write a message across the sky? No. No. On the inside.
Yes.
It's confident. Yes. We signed that lease in Tonawanda for that property. Confidence.
Yes.
You know, I was praying every morning, you know, just had a lot of unction for these new churches and stuff, and my mind was reeling just from a natural standpoint of, are we ready? Is this ready? Is this really, you know, the time? Is this the time? On the inside, it's the time.
Yes.
It's the time. The time is now. And see, I got it down here.
Yes.
You better be careful about listening to this thing all the time. Now, when you're driving and doing natural things, listen to this thing. You know what I mean? But I'm talking, when communicating with the Father, you listen in here. You don't look up here. You don't look to the hills. You don't look to a natural thing. You look on the inside. It doesn't have to be a vision or spectacular. It just has to be filled with peace. I hope this has become clear. And it's very pastoral. It's very needed. People need to be proficient in this. And how do you know? You practice. You got a decision. Now, we should be at the point where it's like, okay, we need a gallon of milk. Well, hold on. Let me check my... Wait, I'm checking my spirit. Now, if you need a gallon of milk, go get a gallon of milk. Please don't be a weirdo. I'm talking about, now, if for some reason you're on your way out the door and something checks you on the inside, hey, don't go out right now.
Sure.
But don't be inventing the check.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know Christians, they'll say that. Anyway. You know, no, it's just real simple. You say, well, people say, I just don't have anything down here. Well, you know, if there's no red light, you know, you know what I mean? If you just have peace, if it's just simple, then make the decision.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and praise you today. We thank you for the inward witness.